What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And for those of you watching on YouTube, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire, who likes to share that final hour every Friday with me with her unique perspective on the world. So I sort of teased this story during hour number one.
Yeah.
And would like you to basically elucidate further.
Okay. Well, apparently the U.S. has seized four Iranian fuel tankers en route to Venezuela and diverted them to Houston. And did this successfully because these Iranian fuel cargo vessels were deemed in violation of U.S.-led sanctions on Iran's energy sector. Now, apparently, the efforts were met with success because the Wall Street Journal reported one official said that the vessels had been taken over without the use of military force, but didn't provide details. Now, Mike, that pretty much had to be done either in international waters or in the territory of a friendly. Okay.
Yes.
And the vessels, which are named the Luna, Panid, Bering, and Bella, are now in U.S. custody, and the Wall Street Journal is saying they're en route to Houston. And apparently senior administration officials are expected to meet the tankers in the coming days at an event scheduled to mark the docking, according to the report. Now, Mike, I'm having a real problem with this because isn't the interdiction of a country's ship in international waters considered an act of war? Am I wrong on this?
At the very least, it's an act of piracy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the United States can dress it up by saying, well, we have sanctioned you and we don't think you should be moving your oil around the world. But once they're in international waters, international law, maritime law applies.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the United States has just conducted an act of piracy, four ships in their contents.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they're going to do a big press build up about this, about aren't we great? We grabbed these four ships. But it is. They basically stole the property of other countries just stole it off the high seas. It's an act of piracy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, one of the things I'm noticing with the Trump administration is that they are claiming international law is anything the administration says it is. You know, that's not good.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
And the one thing that people keep forgetting, and again and again and again, last summer there was a conference on relations with Iran and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And the St. Petersburg Times said that the Russian diplomat told his Iranian counterparts that if the United States attacked Iran, Iran would not stand alone.
Yes.
And they weren't specific, but, you know, to be looking at war with Russia over Iran, this does not sound to me like a terribly bright thing for this administration to be doing.
Well, I think this grabbing of the ships here is more about Venezuela than it is about Iran.
Yeah.
And see, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Venezuela has plenty of oil. What they don't have is refinery capacity,
right.
which Iran does have.
Mm-hmm.
So there may have been a little bit of a deal going on where Venezuela would ship raw petroleum to Iran, and in exchange, Iran would send back refined fuels, which appears to be what was going on.
Yeah.
But again, you know, for the United States to go on out there and say, for the entire world, we are in charge of the energy sector, and you're not allowed to send oil anywhere we don't approve.
Yeah.
You know, that's about as arrogant as the pirates of the Tripoli Kingdom.
So, yes. Would you explain a little bit about that, the pirates of Tripoli, and why you're making that analogy?
Well, I'm making that analogy because it was the piracy of Tripoli that allowed or justification for the United States to start colonizing that part of Africa.
Ah, okay.
You know, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. That was all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tripoli was kind of the Eastern Atlantic's equivalent of Tortuga.
Yeah.
You know, in the Caribbean. It was just a wide open pirate town.
Yep.
And they had a king who, oddly enough, was elected. In fact, there was even one king who was elected who was a coffee merchant. And diplomats from other countries said, why'd you elect him? And he says, he makes a great cup of coffee. And that's more than most kings know how to do.
That's funny.
Yes.
That's funny. Apparently, hopping over to Europe, Paris is placed on red alert. German COVID-19 cases are spiking, and there is a second wave fear rattling Europe right now. And didn't you tell me about the study of a quercetin zinc combination that did better at treating COVID-19 that is hydroxychloroquine? Yes.
It's not better, but it's a safe and, more to the point, available alternative.
Okay.
And the whole idea of the hydroxychloroquine is to basically pump the zinc into the virus, where the zinc will prevent it from reproducing again. And apparently, quercetin will do exactly the same thing.
But it's a lot safer to the system, right?
Well, that depends on who you talk to. I mean, hydroxychloroquine has been around for 65 years with a perfect safety record.
Right.
You know, this concern now that, it's going to cause heart attacks and everything else, that's marketing talk.
Of course.
That's, you know, don't use that. Use this one that we're selling. You know, we have more costly ingredients than these people over here. Yeah. This stuff they're selling will kill you, and our stuff will make you better.
Yeah, but that's all about the fact that this medication has run out of its patent. And
After 65 years, yeah.
Yeah, and Big Pharma is looking for something else that's going to be very expensive.
Yes.
And slap a high price tag on it.
That's why they're already bad-mouthing the new Russian vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, and apparently the U.S. is already signing contracts with American companies for a vaccine that doesn't even exist yet.
Right. Now, we have a very interesting sister article, again, from Zero Hedge. And it says, Sweden hits COVID-19 triple whammy. No lockdowns, low deaths, minimal economic damage. Michael, what the heck did they do right in Sweden that the rest of the world really needs to learn to understand?
Well, I think they, what caused the economic damage was the lockdown, which doesn't seem to have really had that much of an effect. I think that Sweden just basically said, this is another flu.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we go through the flu here in the United States, we don't have lockdowns. We don't have economic ruination. Mm-hmm. But again, I think our economy was on the verge of ruin anyway, and this is just a convenient cover for it.
Yeah, I think so. There's a little bit of hidden history that I would like to bring up. And yesterday was the anniversary of the rise of the Berlin Wall in Germany. And this is authored by Fiona Harrigan via the American Institute for Economic Research. Eastern Germany, which was formerly known as the German Democratic Republic, that was hysterical, wanted to be a paradise for the common people. It called itself Workers and Peasant State. Its anthem, risen from the ruins, brought to mind a phoenix rising gloriously from the ashes of World War II. Now, modern Germany is deceptively unified, so much so that it has been easy to relegate the cautionary tale of the GDR to the history books. But Mike, the ideology which gave rise to the Berlin Wall still persists around the world. For as happily as we can celebrate the day it came down, the day it rose must always stand as a testament to how easily freedom can fall victim to absolutism.
I agree with that. But in this case, the Berlin Wall was all about, you know, the confrontation between the Soviet Union and the United States and NATO, which, you know, when Germany fell at the end of World War II, it created a power vacuum in that part of Europe with both sides rushing in to claim as much as they could. And, you know, the American propaganda was very powerful and very alluring. You know, Russia was definitely losing German population across the border, and that's why they put up the wall.
Yeah, definitely. And getting back to the COVID-19 issues, lockdown restrictions are a test to see how much tyranny Americans will accept.
Well, I refuse to accept it.
Now, this is authored by another gentleman, and when he writes something, I pay attention because he's very well spoken. He's very logical. And he talks about the pandemic lockdowns as being a very complicated issue. And that, he says, is completely deliberate. And then he goes to the point of fourth generation psychological warfare is to present the target individual or population with a hard choice, no win scenario. You're darned if you do, and you're darned if you don't. And he said that he often equates this to the key moves in a difficult chess game. Your primary goal is to create a dual threat and force your opponent to sacrifice one piece over another in order to escape with the least amount of damage. Do this a few times and do it successfully, and you've won the long game.
True.
Now, I really appreciate the leadership in our state of Indiana. There have been some restrictions, nothing that draconian, and I find Governor Holcomb a very measured and intelligent guy who has been listening to both the best the medical experts have and the voters in his state. But that being said, this is a perfect time with this pandemic to see how places like California can actually push people. Now, you know this lady, you've met her.
Yeah.
I have a family connection, the widow of my late cousin, who lives in an assisted living facility in Santa Cruz. She hasn't been able to see any of her kids since March, and she is a beautiful, bright soul who needs company. So I am making sure that I call her consistently so she doesn't feel that all alone. But people living in assisted facilities who cannot see family and friends must be in a really not great state right now. And folks out there who are listening and watching, if you've got some seasoned citizens who are part of your family living in that kind of situation, if you can do it, get them a phone with a visual component. That's going to ease the sense of isolation mightily. What
okay.
do you think?
No, I agree. And
yeah.
It's certainly inexpensive. And I wish I could remember the name of it off because we researched it for Larry's mom.
Yeah.
But there are phones now that are hardwired to do things like FaceTime and Skype.
Yeah.
So that the person who's in the nursing home doesn't have to have a computer. They don't have to learn how to use a computer. It's just once this is set up, you push a button and it Skypes or FaceTimes a pre-selected list of people. And I think it's a really, really good idea.
I do, too.
I wish I could remember what the name of it is. But
Wasn't Jitterbug, was it?
No, Jitterbug is something else.
Okay. All right. Also visiting COVID-19, there was another, I thought, very powerful article in Zero Hedge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's titled, The Attempted COVID Coup of 2020. Now, it's authored by Angela Codevilla via Real Clear Politics. And what he is saying is that history will record the great COVID coup of 2020 based on lies and fears manufactured by Americans' ruling class, led by, drumroll please, the Democratic Party and aided by the complacence of most Republican politicians. Now, back in March, if you'll recall, the WHO and the US CDC presented the coronavirus to the Western world as though it was a danger equivalent to that of the plague. But China's experience, which its government obfuscated for whatever reason, had already shown that COVID-19 was much less like the plague and much more like the flu. And all that has happened, which has followed, and we have got some real falsifying of basic truth. Now, Americans were led to believe that the virus was unusually contagious and would kill up to 1 in 20 people it infected, a 5% infection fatality rate, or IFR, which is the acronym. Today, we still don't have definitive knowledge of COVID-19's true lethality. Now, the absence of that fact base allows bureaucrats to continue fear-mongering. Because by May, a host of studies in the U.S. and around the world showed that the vast majority of COVID cases caused mild symptoms or none, and showed the infection mortality rate to be equal or lower than that for most flus, forced the CDC to conclude that the lethality rate, far from being 5%, was 0.26%. Double that of a typical flu. But instead of changing their recommendations, the CDC and the U.S. government tried to hide it by manipulating the definition and number of alleged COVID cases. Mike, I'd like your thoughts on this. And what can we do peacefully to get this country back on track? Because the fear.
Well, this is classic bureaucratic cover your rear end.
Yeah.
And they don't want to admit that they were wrong. And
yep.
in the past, because then people are going to say, well, how do we know that you're right this time?
Yeah.
And right now, our government and its institutions, like the CDC, which is not technically part of the government, but it's a private corporation, mm-hmm. but they're dealing with a credibility crisis of their own making.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I think they're following the old adage, if at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, listen, we got a caller waiting on the line. Okay. So let's go to W in Texas. Hello, W. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. So heard something yesterday, Mike Adams.
Yes.
He was talking about the COVID vaccine and hydroxychloroquine and its relationship to hydroxychloroquine. And it was an angle I had never heard before. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with it either. But he was basically saying that I'm assuming it's a law that when in the midst of a pandemic, when you're making a vaccine, the vaccine doesn't have to go through all the safety protocols and so forth, and it can move forward if there is no known eligible or treatment, successful treatment or protocol available.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes,
what's basically
the fast
saying
track.
Is what we call it. What's it called?
Called the fast track.
Okay, well, the fast track, right. I wasn't familiar with that angle. But, yeah, he's basically saying that that's another, I guess, angle they're using against hydroxychloroquine to demonize it, to discredit it, is to say there's nothing out here that's, you know, easy and, you know, simple to use. And that's how they're going to try to push these vaccines through. So I just thought that was pretty interesting.
That's all about the money.
Yeah.
It's all about the money. The medical industrial complex.
And I just want to add, too, the whole Russian aspect of this, the fact that, you know, they're saying, you know, I would think that, you know, they would be happy that Russia had came out with a vaccine. So now the whole world can enjoy a vaccine that's out there. But instead, they're saying it's dangerous, even though Russia hasn't gone through the same, hasn't had any safety protocols or anything like that as well. So it's like they're telling us on one end, we need a vaccine right away with the warp speed. But on the other end, when Russia does it at warp speed, it's not good. It's hilarious, you know?
Yeah, again, it's all about market share. It's about, you know, wanting to financially or economically exploit this crisis. You know, for their own personal gain. And they're not really interested in what's going to cure people. In fact, cures are seen as a bad business model in today's medical industrial complex. They want constant ongoing treatments is what they want.
Absolutely. All right, that was it. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much here. And we're going to get back here to the Lady Claire. So, Lady Claire, what's next on your mind?
What is next is that apparently the U.S. has sent B-2 stealth bombers to, quote-unquote, warn China as PLA expands live fire exercises off Taiwan. And apparently, they did this just as major Chinese live firing naval drills were being conducted north of Taiwan. And the U.S. flew three of their B-52 stealth bombers.
No,
B-2, stealth bombers to its Diego Garcia base in the Indian Ocean. Now, the British daily The Times describes that the American bomber movements were to address the growing Chinese threat over Taiwan on the very eve the PLA drill kicked off. And this is the first time, Mike, in a while that the U.S. has sent nuclear-capable strategic bombers to the remote island since 2016. And apparently, it's an indication of the growing concern about China's intentions toward Taiwan. Now, Mike, what concerns me here is just how long a dance between U.S. and Chinese forces until they actually begin to tangle. I've heard from other articles that the Chinese military have been cautioned not to shoot first. But how long can that tension be maintained before something goes horrifically wrong?
Well, I'll have an answer to that after these words from our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the energy planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here, and a friendly reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network, and for that matter, WhatReallyHappened.com, are engaged in a perpetual fundraiser. The postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And, of course, there's a donate button on the front page of WhatReallyHappened.com. Now, in answer to your question, Claire, I don't know that full-on war with China is really feasible. They are a nuclear power. And while they have more people in uniform than we have people in the United States of America, they don't have the ships to get them across to this side of the Pacific to invade the North American continent. Now, the United States doesn't have as many armed forces, but I don't see them invading the Chinese mainland because of that numerical disadvantage. What I do see, though, are some limited skirmishes around the South China Sea Islands, possibly Taiwan.
Okay. All right. Thank you. There was a very interesting presentation by CENTCOM's Chief Commander General Kenneth McKenzie. And he says that Iran is a top priority as sabotage Natanz facility to set to boost nuclear fuel production. And he went on the record saying that Iran is the top priority for U.S. forces deployed across the Middle East. He said, as I look at the theater, we remain focused on Iran as our central problem. This headquarters focuses on Iran, executing deterrence activities against Iran and doing those things. Now, he did that Wednesday at a think tank hosted defense conference. And despite the Islamic State long being driven underground, though the Pentagon has recently claimed the terror group is making a comeback. Now,
I guess the check cleared.
I guess. McKenzie went so far as to blame Iran for any resurgent ISIS activity and made the statement, the threat against our force from Shiite militant groups has caused us to put resources that we would otherwise use against ISIS to provide for our own defense, and that has lowered our ability to work effectively against them, he said.
Short version, we're losing.
You know, what in the name of heaven?
Well, first
of
all,
these guys done.
They've done absolutely nothing. Under the terms of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which Iran has signed and ratified, and so has the United States, Iran has the right to make nuclear fuel for their nuclear power station.
Yeah.
Okay? They have that right, which the United States recognized by signing the NPT.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it is the United States that's in violation of international law and treaty.
Yeah.
First of all, by ignoring Article 2, which says we're going to go in and help them build the power stations.
That way they would know what was there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And second of all, by trying to coerce Iran into surrendering their rights under the NPT.
Yeah.
So it's the United States that's gone rogue here.
Oh, boy. You know, I wish that President Trump saw Iran other than through the rather jaundiced view of Israel's Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu.
Absolutely.
Because Prime Minister Netanyahu knows he could fly into Tehran tomorrow and create a peace treaty.
Yes.
He could do that. And it would be welcomed, you know, by the Iranian people, by the Israeli people. But there is such a political pressure on the people of Israel to always have them terrified.
Oh, that's it. I mean,
that's
how Israel's government has controlled the people of Israel.
Yeah.
It's an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary, and saying, they're coming to get you. Vote us back into power, or the, you know, the Nazis will come back. Hitler's going to come back.
You know, and when Prime Minister Netanyahu describes Iran, he describes the country as an existential threat. But, Mike, that's not it at all. From everything I've read, it's an economic threat. It's about economic
competition.
Of course.
Israel's, you know, Israel wants to do business, but Iran is a competitor. And Israel doesn't like competition because that drives down profits.
Yeah.
And, you know, Iran under the NPT is allowed to manufacture industrial uses of nuclear technology, medical uses of nuclear technology. And these are industries that that Israel is trying to get into, and they don't want to have Iran to compete against them to lower the prices.
Yeah, that's really kind of a shame.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah. And this whole thing with this rapprochement between, and I'm going to get into that later, between Israel and the UAE, President Trump has made an observation that it will stop Israel from annexing East Jerusalem and the West Bank.
That's actually a provision that was written into the agreement, but Netanyahu's already said we're going to ignore that.
He's backing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to do a typical Israel. He's going to demand that the UAE conform with all of the expectations in there, and then maybe we'll do something down the road. We'll think about doing something nice in return.
You know, when I think about the classical definition of a frenemy.
Yes.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, Israel carries that title. They've earned it with the United States, with all of the support.
Well, you know, they say that Israel's our only friend in the Middle East, and all I can think of is before Israel came along, we didn't have any enemies in the Middle East.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take a break for commercials. We've got callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to the phones to John in California. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael, Lady Claire. God bless you. You're on the radio to give your good information. I see you weathered the storm yesterday. Your equipment's all intact. It's a good thing you cut off like you did, saved it.
Yeah, it got pretty
scary.
Good back. Anyway, Claire, I was going to talk code, but you brought up Iran. And yeah, this whole thing where they think they're the boogeyman, and I try to tell people, well, go back to 1953 when the CIA went in and tried to oust the duly elected leader, because I think they didn't want to become centralized banking, and the powers didn't like that, so they deposed Mozambique and put in the Shah and all that, and then, of course, you know what happened. But yeah, they're sitting up there, and it's ridiculous. They're not doing anything. Yeah, they signed the treaty. Nuclear Israel didn't. They hide it, even though they're about the fourth or fifth largest nuclear power. And I heard about this thing. Yeah, they seized some cargo for Venezuela that supposedly came from Iran. I don't know, nuclear uranium or plutonium or something. I said, you know, what gives them the right to do that? Now, if it was a Russian ship or a Chinese ship, I don't know if they do that. But anyway. That's stupid. You know, they're just going to make it worse, even though there's claims, you know, Iran's trying to undermined. They've got their spies, their fifth columns in here. I said, well, just go back. They meddled with them a long time ago, and I don't forget those things. So I got another thing. Talk about Kamala Harris. Say that Biden's elected. She goes in and Biden doesn't make it. She gets, you tell me Hillary wants to get in another way. She's got to pick a vice president. She could pick Hillary. So there's Hillary. And then whether.
Really, a lot of people are saying that could definitely happen.
Yep.
And she takes out Kamala Harris or something. She's president. So, you know, that's a big possibility. God bless it doesn't happen. One last thing.
Kamala gets very depressed and goes for a walk in Port Marcy Park.
Yeah. I don't know if you know about this. They've had to recall our governor, Gavin Newsom, since the end of May, 1st of June. It's been going on. There's a lot of petition signing. And I don't know where we're at. We're on the edge of the San Francisco East Bay. And it's like another country over here versus Oakland and San Francisco, where they're doing much over there. But I know it's getting out here. But you drive it in outside the big cities, you see a lot of signs, recall Newsom, recall Newsom. So, you know, whether that gets anywhere, but it's happening. So that's, you know, one thing. People say, get out of California. Well, you know, I'll stay and fight for a little bit right now. I got some family. You know, I try to make some plans to leave, but I'm not going to do it right off. My wife, you know, is tied a little bit because the family's here, you know, but I'll try to make some secondary plans. I don't think that real estate's going to go immediately, you know, after the election or anything, but, you know, it's going everywhere else, you know, even Florida and Texas and places. People are getting out of there, so, you know. Where they go, I don't know. So anyway.
Okay,
anyway,
well, John.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, same to you. We're going to switch over to Doug in Malaysia. Doug, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mike. I've been hoping to get through to you for a couple of weeks. Somebody was on the air complaining that other guest show hosts did not... You calling in? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I wanted to make a suggestion that anyone tries to tell you how to run your show, you should just totally ban them.
Well, you know, I'm always open to opinions, and, you know, I try and tailor the show to what the audience wants.
It's just a joke.
Okay. All right. So, anything else
I'm
on your mind?
I'm calling in about... Yeah, I sent you an article about Taiwan, the national paper there, well, the biggest one is Pro-Independence News, and they have a story about the former president, Ma Ying-jeou, who was during the Obama years, the old guard party, pro-China, and having said that, something I said on the phone here, that China could take Taiwan quickly and might do so before the U.S. could react. And
yes.
Now he's being called out as a treason. It seems there is an issue. If the U.S. really wants to protect Taiwan, then might want to actually consider parking some equipment there. And I know this sounds like a little far-fetched from what I previously said, but, I mean, the U.S. could have a base in Taiwan and it would perhaps be a shift in policy that would pacify everything.
Well, you know, Taiwan is... Taiwan has kind of been a sore point for China for quite some time. And, you know, it looks like China is trying to reassert its control over some of the outlying regions like Hong Kong and Taiwan. And the U.S. policy toward Taiwan has been to recognize it as an independent country. And that could be a flashpoint for a potential conflict with China, which I personally think would be a really big mistake. We don't have the manufacturing, the manpower, or the money to fight a new Pacific war, which means at some point it would go nuclear. And that's one of the reasons why we're glad we're not in Hawaii any longer.
Glad to be in rural Indiana.
That's true. And we're not running the risk of mushroom clouds around here.
Yeah.
Anything else, Doug?
Well, Well, that's about it. Wish you well. Glad you're feeling better.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open now, 800-313-9443. And Lady Claire, what is your next story?
Well, the next story is something I'm having a really difficult time running my brain around. Apparently, the U.S. State Department has neutered Trump's executive order barring immigrant workers as the H-1B visa malarkey continues. Now, apparently, this was back in June,
yeah.
And President Trump issued an executive order barring nearly all visa workers, a move, he said, would open up over 500,000 American jobs. Well, the State Department, in its infinite absence of wisdom, has done an end run around this, and apparently, the exceptions to this law are now big enough to drive a semi through, according to various analysts. Now, not liking President Trump, there are moments when I'm very disappointed with President Trump. But to punish the American workers for this? Mike, this feels like a bought and paid for situation by the big tech companies. Of course, nothing can be proven, but Mike, I mean, this is really punishing Americans.
Well, see, the big tech companies, they want trained workers,
yeah.
And they're not able to find them in the American population,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we've been dumbed down so much by our public education system,
mm-hmm.
That your basic H-1B visa worker coming to this country is more skilled, more highly trained in technology,
yeah.
Than your average American. And, you know, we have these woke people out there saying that good English and good grammar is racist and we should abandon it.
Mm-hmm.
We had that other professor out there saying that, you know, 2+2+4 is racist because it's an arbitrary imposed belief system and just all this other kind of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We have, you know, public teachers are now very concerned about homeschooling via the computer because they're mm-hmm. concerned the parents might find out what the kids are being taught.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is we've heard all these horror stories about kids who are graduating high school who can't read properly, who can't
right.
do math.
Yeah.
They're math illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have good, solid math skills to work in a high-tech environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reality is that your average American student is inferior to your average H-1B visa worker,
mm-hmm.
You know, coming into this country to enter the high-tech sector. And the big tech corporations know that. They want these foreign students because they're more adequately skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a failure of our education system. And yes, they're punishing the American workers for the failure of the education system.
Yeah. I keep on wondering, with this horrible program we've had, No Child Left Behind, which was institutionalized, dumbing down, what the heck Betsy DeVos is going to do about it? And I don't see any activity.
Nope.
Mike, do you hear or see like a press conference? Here's how we're going to change it. Here's how we're going to fix it. I hear zero nothing from her.
Well, again, if you look at the larger agenda of driving mm-hmm. the United States down to third world status to make
mm-hmm.
it easier to drop all the borders for the one world government,
yep.
then, you know, it's absolutely perfectly in line with that agenda.
I hear you.
At some point, we're going to see these other nations with better education systems, they're going to come under attack. They're going to get woke, and
mm-hmm.
they're going to start having their monuments torn down and their histories erased.
Yeah, that's a pretty terrifying idea.
Yes, it is.
And you know what we could do with the educational system? I've thought of this, and I think I've mentioned it on the show. There are some private schools that are used essentially by people who have money to make sure that their kids are reading, doing math, doing the science ahead of schedule so that
mm-hmm.
they will be better benefited as they get older. One of them is the Kumon School. Now, what they do is not rocket science.
No.
They evaluate where the kid is, and they move them up small classes. They move them up. They're encouraging. They offer a lot of praise when kids get it right. And kids love to get things right because, you know, people are going to be kind to them when they do that.
Yep.
But the big issue, and if I were Betsy DeVos, here's what I'd do right now. I would go into contract with the Kumon Schools, a charter school in one of the roughest areas in the country. And I would say, I'm going to give you the environment, and we're going to give you a small number of kids. And here's what I want to see. Because if we could privatize education, maybe, I'm just saying, and make it lift up so it was world class, what a gift that would be to the future of this country. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
That's only if the government wants a world class educational system. And right now, this government doesn't want it. As George Carlin used to say, they don't want thinkers. They want obedient workers and consumers.
Yeah. And that's very sad. That's really, really very sad. Okay, I would like to go into my next article.
Okay.
Apparently, we're looking here at a very active La Nina, which could spark a very active hurricane season. And there's going to be a little bit of a problem with this. The odds the equatorial Pacific will remain neutral or even spin up a La Nina have risen in the past month. And this is from the U.S. Climate Prediction Center. And in either state, the weather patterns over the Pacific will actually decrease hurricane-killing wind shear across the Atlantic, allowing more storms to form and strengthen. Now, this comes to us via Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
And with increasing odds for a La Nina this fall, resulting in it could be a super active hurricane season. But unfortunately, President Trump has redirected the use of funds from FEMA disaster relief programs to pay for tens of million unemployed, broke, and hungry Americans devastated by the virus-induced recession. Mike, sometimes I worry that the words finite resources do not seem to be in President Trump's vocabulary. And that's a little scary. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has the same problem when she was talking about her Green New Deal and everybody said, how are you going to pay for it? And she said, well, we'll just pay for it. You know, the money will be there somewhere. And I'd rather they took money out of the war machine to pay for this. But frankly, this sounds like scaremongering coming from FEMA itself.
Yes.
It doesn't want its budget to be cut. Right now, the axe is hovering and everybody's saying, oh, no, no, cut their budget. Don't cut my budget.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a few more phone calls here. David in Boston. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Michael. I just have a news flash. I don't want to interrupt you and Lady Claire, but Millie Weaver. And are you familiar with Millie Weaver? She appears on the Alex Jones show frequently.
Yes.
Yeah. During the show today, she got arrested. She got arrested at home, and it was very sad. But, you know, these militarized police, it wasn't a SWAT team, but there was militarized police. They were dressed in military uniform, you know, camo clothing and everything and all that. And she was allowed to put her shoes on, and she was led away. I don't know who took the video, but it was so sad because she has children, and her little kids went running out onto the porch as the police took Millie away. She's been indicted by a grand jury for burglary, and they say that's practically unheard of for a grand jury to indict somebody just on a charge of burglary. But evidently She's friends with President Trump and Ivanka, but what it has to do with, they're making I forget the name of the film, this expose, but she was getting, and Alex said he warned her that she was getting in too deep with the deep state. She was getting in over her head, but she was, evidently she has like the contents of the Hitler beasts and emails and exposing the Obama beast and Claptrap Clapper. And John Brennan, and she was taking on the big boys and everything. So, but it was very sad to see her dragged away and her children out on the porch, you know, crying mommy and everything and all that. And, but it's very scary to see something like that. So I don't know who came up with the video, a neighbor or something, or Alex had the video of her being, she was just allowed to put on her shoes. I guess she was big. So with the weekend coming up, Mike, and you're not going to be on the air till Monday and everything. I know you appreciate the heads up. You like to stay on top of stuff like this, you know. So, anyways, I just wanted to make you aware of that. It's very scary that they can, you know. And she's a lovely lady, and she hasn't done anything wrong at all. She's a journalist, and she has the right to journalistic investigation and everything, and it's just scary when they're dragging away journalists and everything on some trumped up charge of burglary, which I'm told, like I say, there was a lady, I don't know who the lady was, that came, a friend of a friend of Millie's was on with Alex Jones, and she was saying, and I don't know too much about grand juries or anything, but she was saying it's almost unheard of for a grand jury, a federal grand jury, to indict somebody just on a charge of burglary. But that's what the charge is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll let you finish up your show with Lady Claire and everything, Mike. I really enjoy I wasn't able to listen to most of the show today, but I really enjoy hearing Lady Claire when she's on. She's she truly is a lady of grace, you know? Okay, so
all right, well, we have to let you go. David, we have to let you go. We have to take one more commercial break, back with another phone call from Dustin in New Jersey. Just finally calling back in. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here, last segment on the Sal Hunter Friday. We're going to go right to the phones to Dustin in New Jersey. Dustin, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, how long have I been calling?
Well, for a very, very long time.
Remember I called in, I got sick, like, toward the end of February, right?
Yeah.
And I was found outside on my concrete porch, shivering, sweating. 2 weeks of crap, you know, I went through. And then, I got better. I told you, like, March 27th, I went for the coronavirus test. They tested me negative. I'm just curious, like, would that be out of my system by then? Like, if I cleared it out, like, it would be negative, right?
You know, I really don't know how long, I mean, your body would still show the antibodies from an infection, even if you no longer had the infection itself any longer. And I think an antibodies test is the primary means that they have for testing for coronavirus.
Yeah, because I had the nasal swab.
Yeah.
You know, where it goes into each nostril, and it's a very long Q-tip, guys. I mean, they're not giving you the virus. That's like a myth, you know. Like, but I got tested negative. But Mike, this last week, because I haven't called in, I was sick. Like, I had, could be a coincidence. Maybe secondary things. I don't know. I had, discomfort around my abdomen, kidney area. I had upper respiratory problem, around my heart. Not problems breathing, but, and you know what? I had, like, almost like an arthritis pain in my fingers, right? Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
But you know what? I take elderberry and oil for oregano and all this stuff, echinacea and D3. I get sun, Mark, I'm not under my bed. And somebody called in yesterday about Quercetin I've been taking. And you know what, Mike? I'm actually feeling better. Is that a coincidence? Am I having second? You know what I mean? Like,
Dustin, here's the reality. I'm not a doctor. I played one once in a movie, but I'm not a doctor. And
we don't know about that.
Yeah, well, from what you're describing, my recommendation, you should be talking to your doctor about this, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, I feel better. I'm taking more of this, the vitamins and stuff. But I'm saying, because I'm going back to, like, Claire was talking about Sweden and stuff. We don't know everything we need to know about this virus. That's why I'm always calling in talking about wearing your surgical mask. Because you saw that from, was it Harvard, about the minimum should be a surgical mask. Like that, you should not wear a bandana, guys. Like,
no, they're bandanas, useless. Completely useless.
And N95.
Anyway, listen, Dustin,
okay,
we're at the
I'll
end
call
of
in Monday,
show.
Mike.
Yeah, call in Monday. I'd like to hear more about this, but talk to your doctor about what's going on here. Meanwhile, for those of you who use our archives at RBN, they've been having tech issues the last 2 days, but should be restored to normal in the next few hours. Apparently, it was a WordPress update that broke the theme and plugins. But they found a patch and they're putting it in right now. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of RBN. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We need to replace equipment. And we'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. Aloha, America.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.